Amen. Thank you, Don. Take your Bibles, please, and turn to 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 14. It's good to have Angel's parents here from South Louisiana, and they probably are going to get to experience something we experience a lot here in the north. It's white. It comes down from the sky, and don't let it shock you. It's called snow, and actually, you folks had snow this year, didn't you? Didn't you get some snow this year? You didn't really get any snow. You got a dusting, but down there, that's like you shut everything down. I mean, you just close the city, close everything. And, of course, I mentioned to our group of men in the prayer time, by the way, we had 14 men at men's prayer time. That was a blessing tonight, but I mentioned to them that there is one group I know that is praying fervently that the predictions will come true, and that would be the teachers and staff of our school. Students, of course, want to go to school, but anyway. 1 Kings 14, you know, you wouldn't expect that in April. You wouldn't expect there to even be any question about that, and yet my wife and I were recalling our first year in Michigan, and it snowed on Mother's Day. So it's not done till it's done. You know, about the end of July, you can figure it's not going to snow again for at least a month. It's Michigan. Amen. And we do need to honor the Bremers tonight because of Michigan State, their win, and they're going into the finals. They said they couldn't believe I didn't have banners up and celebrate and blow one of those little wee things or something like that. But anyway, that's an amazing thing that is going on there, and I know that many of you are for Michigan State, and many of you hate Michigan State. I've never, you know, how all that works, but anyway, congratulations to the Bremers. I know they have a big part in the victory, I'm sure, and I'm sure that somehow, some way, just like you think you have a part when your team is winning. And then you have nothing to do with it when Detroit loses. You say, I don't even like them anymore. And of course, the Steelers, the cooks all think it's because of them. What are you so excited about? Between the cooks and Larry Johns, they've got it. They have made Pittsburgh what it is today. And do what? Don't cut down. They won the Super Bowl. You got to give them credit. 1 Kings 14 and verse 1, at that time, Abijah, the son of Jeroboam, fell sick, and Jeroboam said to his wife, Arise, I pray thee, and disguise thyself, that thou be not known to be the wife of Jeroboam, and get thee to Shiloh. Behold, there is Ahijah, the prophet, which told me that I should be king over this people. And take with thee 10 loaves and cracknels and a cruse of honey, and go to him. He shall tell thee what shall become of the child. Jeroboam's wife did so and arose and went to Shiloh and came to the house of Ahijah. But Ahijah could not see, for his eyes were set by reason of his age. And the Lord said unto Ahijah, Behold, the wife of Jeroboam cometh to ask a thing of thee for her son, for he is sick. Thus and thus shalt thou say unto her, for it shall be when she cometh in that she shall feign herself to be another woman. And it was so when Ahijah heard the sound of her feet as she came in at the door, that he said, Come in, thou wife of Jeroboam. Why feignest thou thyself to be another? For I am sent to thee with heavy tidings. And of course, Jeroboam here not only wants to know about his son who is sick, but I believe he wants to cry out to the Lord for his son to be healed. And as we see in verse 5, the Lord reveals to the prophet Ahijah that this person who's coming is the wife of Jeroboam. And Jeroboam, of course, has told her to disguise herself. And I want to talk to you. I think there's some good comparisons there with a lot of us in our prayer life sometimes. And I want to talk to you about praying in disguise tonight. Father, I pray that you'll help us to listen carefully tonight and to look at the Word of God. And then we ask that you'd speak to our hearts about our prayer lives. And I pray, Lord, that we will come to you as who we are, and that we'll get things right with you. And Lord, we'll be serious about our prayer time. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It is kind of an amazing story. I remember the first time I read it, I thought, how in the world do these people think they're going to get away with this thing? I mean, really, they're trying to get God's help. They're trying to get something from God. They want to know the will of God. They want to know what's going to happen. They want to intervene for their son, I believe. And Jeroboam says to his wife, he says, well, he says, arise, I pray thee, disguise thyself, that thou be not known to be the wife of Jeroboam. You know, and in my mind, I think, well, I mean, you want something from God. Do you really think you're going to be able to get a, you're going to sneak through in and get a prayer from God answered when you're sneaking through and disguising yourself as someone else? I think about this in light of, we have a lot to pray about, folks. We really do. You know, our economy's a mess. Jobs are a mess. The nation's a mess. If you read the paper, and, you know, I don't necessarily recommend it because I want you to stay encouraged and excited, but there's just a lot of stuff, a lot of things. Another factory closing down in our area, and just different things. I mean, there is a lot to pray about. There's a lot to pray about as you consider those who are sick, those who have health issues and health problems that we've been praying about, but we need to keep praying. There's a lot to pray about. There's a lot to seek God's help on. There's a lot to go to Him for. There's a lot to go to God and to say, God, we need you. We need your help and we need you to answer our prayers. And as Jeroboam here has a son, Abijah, who is sick, he knows that there's only one person that can help him out, and that's God. Why would Jeroboam disguise his wife and try to go to the man of God and ultimately go to God with a disguise? Why would he think that this is how he's going to get his prayer answered? And I ask the same question of us tonight. Who prays when you pray? Who goes to God in prayer? Is it you, or are you wearing a disguise? Are you wearing a mask? Jeroboam and his wife schemed to talk to God's servant to get help from God. But it's a disguise. And we'll analyze tonight as we look at the scripture, we'll find out, you know, really the disguise was because of sin. He himself, he said, hey, don't let him know that you're the wife of Jeroboam, because he knows what I've done. Are you listening? You know, he knows what I've done. He knows how I did not go in the way that I was told to go. I did not obey. I did not do what I was supposed to do. And because of that, I don't want him to know that about me, because, hey, I want this prayer to be answered. I want my son to be healed. I want everything to work out. And so we'll trick him. You know, you can't trick God. We, as Christians, you know, we can point our fingers all directions at why everything's the way it is. We're not going to trick God, folks. We're not going to fool God. I mean, honestly, if you look around, I mean, the seats are, there's a lot of empty spaces here. Listen, Christians, God's people are the key to the United States of America and to revival and to our economy and to God blessing America. We're the key to that. God's people are the key. Let's just disguise her. We need God right now, and we don't want him to know about all these sins that we commit. Oh, listen, that's our problem, really. There was such a hypocrisy in this. And when you read it, again, the first thing that strikes me is how ridiculous that had to be. And yet, I saw myself sometimes. I saw hypocrisy in you know, God, we need you, and you know that we love you. Well, he knows what he knows. And we kind of like to put on a little mask and disguise ourselves and say, okay, now if you'll bless the person behind this mask, and I think God's always going to say to us, take the mask off. Take the mask off. Talk to me face to face. It's time we get real with God. We be honest with God and talk to God, not like Jeroboam was trying to do, but talk to God honestly and openly, and we'll get into that in a minute. First thing I see here is his direction. His direction. You'll notice Ahijah, and again, Ahijah and Abijah. Don't get those confused. It's easy to do. Abijah is the son of Jeroboam, and Ahijah is the prophet. Chapter 11, verse 29, Jeroboam makes a reference to this. It came to pass at that time when Jeroboam went out of Jerusalem that the prophet Ahijah the Shilonite found him in the way, and he had clad himself with a new garment, and they too were alone in the field. And Ahijah caught the new garment that was on him and rent it in 12 pieces. And he said to Jeroboam, "Take thee 10 pieces, for thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, behold, I will rend the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon and will give 10 tribes to thee. But he shall have one tribe for my servant David's sake and for Jerusalem's sake, the city which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel." So he's telling him that God is going to give him, he's going to become a king. God's going to give him a kingdom with some of the tribes. Verse 38, it says, "And it shall be, if thou wilt hearken unto all that I command thee, and wilt walk in my ways and do that is right in my sight, to keep my statutes and my commandments, as David my servant did, that I will be with thee and build thee a sure house, as I built for David, and will give Israel unto thee." He said, "Now I'm letting you know that God is going to do this, and God is telling you, Jeroboam, if you will walk in my ways, if you'll do right, if you'll obey me, if you'll do what is right in my sight," he says, "I'll give Israel unto thee." What a promise. What an amazing thing, and what a blessing. And chapter 12 and verse 20, the Bible says that it takes place. "It came to pass when all Israel heard that Jeroboam was come again, that they sent and called him unto the congregation and made him king over all Israel. There was none that followed the house of David, but the tribe of Judah only." And so Jeroboam, just as Ahijah said, just as the prophet said, he became the king, and there was no question about that. Certainly Jeroboam could see that God's hand was in this. Certainly Jeroboam knew the power of God as the man of God told him what was going to happen. Certainly he recognized that God had made all of this happen. There's no question about that. There's no question that God had, you know, it's not strange that his direction was one of seeking God for help and answers, because no question, he knew that God could do it. He knew that God was able to do anything. God had made him king, and over just an amazing thing that took place in him becoming the king. I mean, it was obvious God's hand was on it. His direction, no question, would be to look up to God. But chapter 13 and verse 33, and it's amazing. It's how we are so often. It ought to really frustrate us with us. Because it so often, though we know that God is the one that we need, and we know that God is the one that's going to answer our prayers, and we know that God is the one that when the time is tough, that he is the one that we're going to turn to him. And yet, notice what happened to Jeroboam. The Bible says in verse 33 of chapter 13, "After this thing Jeroboam returned not from his evil way, but made again of the lowest of the people priests of the high places, whosoever would. He consecrated him, and he became one of the priests of the high places. And this thing became sin unto the house of Jeroboam, even to cut it off and to destroy it from off the face of the earth," even though he knew where to look. Even though he knew that God had made him king, and God had told him, "I will bless you in a great way if you'll just do my will. If you'll just go the way I tell you to go." And he knew that, and there was no question about that. He still went his own way. And now he looks the only way he can. He finds out that his son is sick. And his direction is the direction that always, he knows where to look. But he's ashamed. And he's ashamed, but he's not so ashamed that he wants to get right with God. He's not so ashamed that he wants to turn from his wicked way. He's not so ashamed that he wants to have his life changed, but he sure does want that answer to prayer. He sure does want his son to be healed. You know, it's just like us. We really would like to see our country turn back to God. We really would like to see people's health restored, people's jobs restored, the economy back the way it was. We really would like to see revival break out in our area and see souls saved and lives changed. We'd like to see that, but sad to say, we're kind of like Jeroboam, and we're just not really willing to turn from the wicked ways, to turn from self-righteousness, to turn from that which we know that we're ashamed of. And Jeroboam, so what does he do instead of getting right with God? He says, we'll disguise ourselves. We'll put on a mask. We'll fool the man of God. We'll pretend that nothing ever happened. Well, we're good at that, aren't we? We're so good at pretending. It's amazing as you read of people that go to the Lord in prayer. In Isaiah, he saw the Lord. He was high and lifted up. And, you know, immediately he knew what he was when he really saw God. But we kind of go through some motions sometimes, I'm afraid. And we just wear our disguise, thinking somehow we're going to get away with this thing. I mean, tonight, do you want your prayers to be answered? Do you want our nation to be healed? I mean, you know, it's one thing to say, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. But it's another thing to say that and then say, because I give up. We can't give up. You know, because we don't know that he's coming tomorrow. We don't know that he's coming next week. I mean, look at our precious children all over this church. And to be honest with you, it's scary to think what it's going to be like when they're my age. It's hard to even imagine that. Why don't we get serious in our prayers to God and say, God, I'm serious about this thing. God says, okay, take off your mask. Take off your disguise. Number one, his direction, it had not changed. He wanted to get God to answer his prayers. He knew God could do it. The problem is his heart was not right because of disobedience in his life. Number two, we see the distress here. His distress, and certainly he finds out that his son is very, very sick. And he had a great, great need. And he asks, he tells his wife, well, disguise yourself and go find out what shall become of him. But I think deep down he really wanted God to heal his son. He had a need. His distress, he turned to the one that he knew could do it. And boy, we can become real religious. I mean, we really can, but isn't it sad that in all of that we put on our mask? Well, you say, preacher, I know me, and I'm kind of embarrassed to go before. That's why we have to get right with God. That's why it's just so crucial. Jeroboam, what are you going to do about this thing? Your son is very sick. I know, and I'm concerned about it, and I know God could heal him. And I know God could work this out, and I know, but I also know that I've offended God. I've not lived right. I haven't done what I ought to do, and I know what, I'll fake him out. Doesn't work. See, you know, the amazing thing is, he knew that God's power was the only way. And folks, let's be honest, we know God's power is the only way for our nation. It is the only hope for our nation. I mean, there are things that are going on and it's happening so fast. I'm not predicting anything. I'm just saying that it is happening so fast. God has to do something, but we are going to have to get serious with God and take off our mask and be open and honest to God. Daniel, as he prayed, and we've gone through the book of Daniel, and we've watched Nehemiah as he prayed, in these men as they prayed nationally for their nation, for their country, for their people, they were always saying, God, forgive me. I've sinned, God. Forgive me. It's so easy to blame them and them and them and them and them and them and them, but let's be honest before our God. I mean, Jeroboam, your son is sick and your son's going to die. And only God can help you, Jeroboam. Well, I know I've really messed up a lot here lately. I'll trick God. Number three, we see his disguise. And Jeroboam said to his wife, arise, I pray thee, and disguise thyself that thou be not known to be the wife of Jeroboam. Why? Well, because Jeroboam's not been following God. That's why. Why, Jeroboam? Can you imagine? Well, Jeroboam, why don't you want him to know that I'm your wife? Why don't you want him to know you want this request? Well, because I want God to answer my prayer. I don't want him to know it's me. I don't want him to know what I've done. So we'll disguise everything. See, they knew if Ahijah knew them, it would be bad news. You know, you and I, we need to be honest with God. You know, this reminds me, the first thing I thought of, it's kind of like if the doctor, you know, I go for doctor's checkups every 6 months, and I have to do blood tests every 3 months, I believe it is. And it'd be like when I start getting nervous about my blood and about what might be in it. And this last time, you know, I was a little wondering because my last checkup was kind of weird. This one ended up being real good. But you know, I thought, yeah, you know, I need to find some healthy guy around here and have him go give blood for me and let him test his blood. Great idea. You know, find somebody that is just the specimen of perfect health. Ooh. Well, anyway, you know, and get their blood in those little vials and let them test their blood, and then I'll go see the doctor and say, well, doc, what do you think? He said, you know, you are as healthy. Well, let's say I got some of Zach's blood. Are you pretty healthy? Yeah, you're not too bad. So I got that, and they said, you know, preacher, I'll tell you, you're as healthy as a 17-year-old. Yeah. Now, you know, there's only one problem with that. It's not true. It isn't true. But would you feel good about that? Isn't that the same thing as talking to God with our mask? Talking to God and not being open with him and not being honest with him and not being truthful with him? Because you know what? The only person we're fooling is us. Because we're not going to fool God. Ever. His disguise. Do you remember, you've all heard different ways to think about prayer and how to pray. I remember in college hearing the ACTS method of prayer. How many of you know what I'm talking about? ACTS. A is adoration. C is confession. T is thanksgiving. S is supplication. And it's a good thing to follow, a nice formula to kind of follow as you talk to God. But I'll be honest with you, I don't know about you, but many times I have tried to start with A. Adoration. God, you're wonderful. God, you're gracious. God, you're merciful. But I find myself, as I talk to God, I've got to go to C. The only problem with my method is C-A-T-S spells something I don't like to think about when I'm praying. But I do find myself having to confess first. I find myself, I'm in the presence of God. Do you really believe you're in the presence? Are we just Catholics? Hello? Are we just chanting? Or are we really talking to our God? Yeah. Confession. It's, what is it? It's taking off the mask. Well, I'm as guilty as anybody. I've wore the mask before. Oh, thou which sitteth on the rim of the earth, you know, and all this kind of stuff and all the baloney and everything. And you go through all that kind of stuff just because you deep way back in there, you got some things in there you know are not right. And you know, God, you know this. You ever done that in the middle of your prayer? Just say, God, I'm sorry. You know. You know what I did. You know what I was thinking. You know what. And you just go right into confession. It's not a bad thing to do. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. See, you know, we all know this. And yet how many times do we go into God's presence disguised, just like Jeroboam here? Do we really think we can mask over the sin? Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If I regard iniquity, literally to hide it there and to guard it and protect it and, oh, I don't want to confess this because then I gotta quit doing it. And I don't, But are you serious about your prayer request? Jeroboam, do you want your son to be healed? Jeroboam, do you, I mean, be honest with God. Go to God and go to him without a mask, without a disguise, and just say, God, you know I've sinned against you. I'll be honest, I'm not as concerned about lack of prayer as much as I am about disguised prayer, where we're not really just open with God. We just kind of go through some motions, I think. And just as God knew Jeroboam's wife was who she was, he knows who we are too. It's time to rip off the disguise. I remember when I was, I'm going to say 7th or 8th grade, somewhere around junior high years, could have been 9th grade back then. And, of course, I had my long hair down on my shoulders and was a hippie. And I decided to go out for wrestling, and I really enjoyed wrestling. And so I went out for wrestling, and the coach, back in those days, coaches could really coach. Back in those days, there was no politically correct anything, and coaches could actually, I mean, they could be mean. They could be nasty, you know, especially if you're a football player, wrestler, you know, if you're trying to be, really try to be a man, they could really be rough on you. And you couldn't say, he hurt my feelings. Can you, back in those days, a wrestler saying, he hurt my feelings? Back in those days, a football player saying, he hurt my feelings? I remember my coach in football slapping us upside the head. I mean, yeah, we had our helmets on, but I mean, he didn't mess. Boy, nowadays, you got to be so careful. This coach says, all right, pretty boy. If you're going to wrestle, you got to get your hair cut. I said, what do you mean I got to get my hair cut? He said, if you're going to wrestle in the city meet, whatever was coming up, I'm going to say it was either city or county meet. He said, you're going to have to get your hair cut because I'm not going to have you go out and represent us looking like that. That's back in those days. You'd never say that nowadays. I mean, there'd be such a lawsuit. You know, this guy made fun of my long, pretty hair. He hurt me. I wept for hours. But so anyway, to make a long story short, I mean, it was the day before, and my sister, she was laughing at me and everything. It's too late to go to the barber anyway. She said, I'll cut your hair. That was not a good idea. She cut my hair. I will never forget this. It is amazing. I don't know if we have any pictures of this or not. But she started it. Now, you got to understand, my hair was here. She figured she had it all figured out, you know. The old bowl haircut kind of a thing. So she starts cutting, you know, with the scissors and doing her thing and going around. It's funny to you. It wasn't funny to me. But she's going around. Then she just said, you know, it just doesn't look right. I said, let me see. She said, no, you don't want to see yet. I said, what do you mean it doesn't look right? She said, you know, wrestlers have, you know, they have that cut in the back and it looks real nice and everything. I said, well, wait a minute, do you know what you're doing? She said, yeah. She said, I could do that. So she got some clippers out. So she, and it was so funny because she's behind me and she's cutting and I hear, nee, nee, nee. Oh. I said, what do you mean, oh? She said, it's okay. I just have to straighten it out. She'd go over here, nee, nee, nee. She'd hold my head and say, oh. And then, nee, nee. I said, wait a minute. What? There's a lot of eating going on. She said, well, she said, I'm serious. This was one of the most amazing things in life. It isn't that funny. She, right here. Now, I'm talking about right here, down. It was bald. In the back. I'm talking from here down. There, it was, now, and it was crooked still. And she's still trying to, I said, wait, you need to stop. I got to see it. She started crying. Now, when your sister's crying, you know you're in trouble. I mean, you know it's bad. I'll never forget the next morning my dad saw me and he just could not believe it. He said, son, it's crooked. He said, not only is it stupid, it's crooked. Dad, and I'm going to wrestle. I played in the band and we had a band thing going on that day too. And later on we were having the wrestling thing. And I'm saying, Dad, you got to help me out. You got to. He says, well, son, I'll do my best. Dad gets the clippers. I'll never forget this. He's in the back, and I coughed. And he said, zzz. I mean, it was bad. It was so bad. He says, son, I'm sorry. This is really bad. Now, you got to understand. I went ahead and I did the band thing and was embarrassed to death. I wrestled and the guy laughed at me. I'm serious. It was that bad. But I decided, and I can't even believe I'm telling this. I don't know if I should. But yeah, go on. Right. Yeah, it's no big deal to you. I decided, because a lot of my friends went to another school, they had not seen me yet, especially the kids in our neighborhood. None of them had seen me. And so I decided I was going to wear one of my sister's wigs. Don't write this down. So I've got her wig, and it's not, you know, you have to understand, it wasn't, it was shorter than my hair had been, believe it or not. So that wasn't such a strange thing, but I'm wearing this wig now in the neighborhood, and everybody, you know, they're just all saying, it was the color that my hair was, and I'm out here, you know, and I'm in the neighborhood and everything, and we're playing football. This is so good. So we're all playing football, and I got this wig on. Everything's going great until somebody tackled me and hit my head, and that thing flew off. And everybody's in shock. I mean, it's like, you know, I tried to cover it up. You know, you can only cover things up so long. And finally, people do find out. You know, and with God, we need to be honest with Him. We need to be so honest with God. He knows. He knows. He knows our disguise. We can disguise it with church work. We can disguise it with prayer time. We can disguise it with King James words when we pray. We can disguise it with, you know, all kinds of things, putting extra money in the plate. But ultimately, you know, He just wants our heart to be right. That's what He wants. He just wants us to be honest with Him and have our hearts right. His disguise, the last thing we see is His disappointment. And the Bible says that in verse 12, it says, their father, wait a minute, I'm in the wrong one. Verse 12. How did I turn over that far? Let's go back here. First of all, verse 6, it says, it was so when Ahijah heard the sound of her feet as she came in at the door, he said, come in, thou wife of Jeroboam, why feignest thou thyself to be another? For I am sent to thee with heavy tidings. Not a good thing. Not a good thing. Verse 12, it says, arise thou therefore, get thee to thine own house, and when thy feet enter into the city, the child shall die. He said also verse 7, go tell Jeroboam, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, forasmuch as I exalted thee from among the people and made thee prince over my people Israel and rent the kingdom away from the house of David and gave it thee, and yet thou hast not been as my servant David, who kept my commandments and who followed me with all his heart to do that only which was right in mine eyes, but hast done evil above all that were before thee, for thou hast gone and made thee other gods and molten images to provoke me to anger and hast cast me behind thy back. Therefore, I'll bring evil. I'll bring evil upon your house. Your son's going to die. I'm going to bring evil upon your house. You are going to fail. Verse 17, Jeroboam's wife arose and departed and came to Tirzah. And when she came to the threshold of the door, the child died. And everything happened just like God said. His disappointment. I don't know about you, but if I'm praying about it, it's important to me. Do you just have a list of government officials or government issues or church issues? Or do you just kind of cover the list and say the things? Or do you really want God to do something? His disappointment. I think the failure here was because of the mask, the disguise. You say, well, you know, what about other people praying? And they're right, and they can pray for America. What if everybody's just like us? What if everybody else is doing that too? I mean, come on, folks, let's be honest. We want to blame this and blame that, and well, here's why, you know, why did we end up in the mess that we're in? Come on. If my people, which are called by my name, that's us. That's not the homosexual crowd. That's not the abortion crowd. That's us. God wants us to be honest with Him. Instead of these disguised prayers, let's just be honest with God. Let's just be honest. God, you know what I did. You know it was sin. I know it was sin. It's wrong. That's what confession is. It's agreeing with God about it. And God, it's wrong. It's sin. Please forgive me. And God, I don't deserve to be forgiven. But that's, you know, honestly, we're in the right time of year to talk about forgiveness, because that is what Calvary's all about. And if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us. Let's be honest with God when we pray. And again, I'm not telling you don't adore Him first. I'm just saying somewhere along the line, talk to Him. Confess. Be honest with Him. Those things that no one knows about, He knows. Those things that, you know, everybody else would be shocked. Well, nobody else really has to be shocked. He's not shocked. He knows it. Talk to Him. Let's talk to Him. And let's be honest with Him. And let's quit praying in disguise. Let's bow our heads, please.